thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We're going to speak tonight, and we're going to consider the ministry of the mentor. And of course, as the wee caption says, a mentor encourages us to do something great. They give us the thumbs up. There's nothing as bad as somebody giving you the thumbs down. We need people who give us the thumbs up in life. So let's have a wee look at Scripture. If you want, I can read it to you. If you want to turn in your Bibles or your phones tonight, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. It's just six verses that I want to highlight tonight. And within these six verses, we're going to read a little bit about the ministry of a mentor. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, reading from the New Living Translation tonight. I know that some of you, if you're on your phones or your iPad, you can easily switch it over to the particular translation, or you can just listen. Verse 8, but let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose us to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger upon us. Christ died for us so that, whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. And so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. In other words, let's give everyone the thumbs up. That's my version of it. And then verse 12, sometimes you get little subsections within your Bible, and it says Paul's final advice. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. Well, we want to honor Wesley and Florence tonight. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Folks, most of you probably know what a mentor is, but I will take a few moments to explain what it is. A mentor is an incredibly important person, but its role doesn't always get the recognition that it deserves. Without mentors, many of us would not be doing what we're doing today, and I would be one of those people. I owe a lot of where I am today to mentors, and I'm going to refer to that a little later on. Mentors are worth their weight in gold. So Wesley and Florence, you're worth a lot of money tonight. I'm not going to ask what weight you are, okay? You can keep that a secret. So what is a mentor, and what does a mentor do? Well, a mentor, let's make it quite simple, is a teacher or a trainer, a facilitator or a guide. You know that we've got five life groups now, connect groups, house groups, call them what you will. And so we have, in those five groups, we would have facilitators and we would have hosts. The hosts would be the people who would open up their home, who would host the event or the life group, and the facilitator or facilitators would be those who would lead, who would guide, who would teach, and who would instruct. So a mentor is a facilitator and a guide. A mentor is an encourager, as we've already heard, someone who believes in you. If you've got somebody who believes in you and tells you that they believe in you, then they are your mentor. A mentor lifts you up and always speaks the truth, even when it hurts. They're the type of people who tell you that you can do something great. They stress that you can reach for the stars, that you can achieve your goals. They make you feel good about yourself, but more importantly, they make you believe in yourself. So what I would like to do this evening for a wee moment, just a little exercise, would you please stand up if you believe that you are a mentor? Don't be embarrassed about it. Don't feel that you're boasting or anything like that. But if you feel that you are a mentor, would you please stand? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Okay, hold that figure in your mind. Thank you very much. I'll give you that tenner later. Mentoring is the oil that lubricates many cogs that turn the big wheel of encouragement and self-belief. They're there for you to take a wee look at. The story begins a long, long time ago, in fact around 3,000 years ago to be precise, when the term mentor was first used. It's found in an ancient Greek poem by Homer. And so the story of mentor comes from Homer's Odyssey. Odysseus, king of Ithaca, fights in the Trojan War, and he entrusts the care of his household to Mentor, who serves as a teacher and an overseer of Odysseus' son, Telemachus. Now, if I haven't pronounced those names right, you'll not know any difference, I'm sure. So we'll just pretend that they were pronounced right. Unexpectedly, the king is away for decades fighting this war. If you've watched Troy or the likes of that, which I've watched many times and I'm intrigued to watch it, you'll know that it lasted a very, very long time. And so the king, while he was away, and during that time, he entrusted his close friend, his trusted confidant, this guy called Mentor, who nurtures and supports not only the household, but in particular, the young lad, the son of the king, as he grows up from boyhood to manhood. And so the word mentor over the years has evolved to mean a trusted advisor, a friend, a teacher, and a wise person. Mentoring is a fundamental form of human development where one person invests time and energy and personal know-how in assisting the growth and the ability of another person. Today, mentors provide expertise to less experienced individuals to help them, for example, advance their careers, to enhance their education, and to build their networks. It's all about networking today in business and in school, commerce and one thing or another. It's all about networking. And in many different arenas, people have benefited from being part of a mentoring relationship, if you've heard of that before. And the church is no different. In fact, the church is a prime place where mentors and mentoring takes place. And if it doesn't, then the church isn't operating correctly. You see, a mentor helps someone to achieve their goals. For me, and I referenced this a few moments ago, I've been incredibly blessed to have had some exceptional people in my life as mentors who have helped me to achieve my goals. Mentors are normally, but not exclusively, but they are normally older people. They're normally older than the person that they are mentoring, because by the very nature of mentoring, they are people who have life experience, they have maturity, and because of that, they have helped people along the road, and they are experienced in that particular field. But the thing about being a mentor or having a mentor is that quite often a mentor may only be in your life for a season. In fact, it's very rare that a mentor will be in your life for all of your life. So it is more than likely that if you have a mentor, or you have had a mentor, or if you will have one, that they'll be in your life just for a particular period of time. Because quite often your life and your circumstances change. And obviously, if the mentor is doing their job right, then they are raising you up and educating you and training and teaching and encouraging you to the point where hopefully you will not need to be mentored, but then you will be able to mentor somebody else. So I personally can think of four people who have played this instrumental role in my life, four particular people who have graciously mentored me over the years. Some of them, I believe, didn't even know that they were doing it. Others did it because it was perhaps part of a program, and I will explain in a moment. You might also think of some mentors that have been in your life. If you take a moment, let's just take 30 seconds and have a think. Have there people who have mentored you? Is there someone who is mentoring you now? Or do you feel the need for somebody to mentor you? Let's take a few seconds and think about it. I'll go and have a wee cup of tea while you do that. I'm sure many of you have particular faces and names in your mind. People who have encouraged you to achieve your goals. So I think, first of all, of my father, my late dad. And he taught me many of life's skills. He gave me confidence as a young boy, as a young man growing up. As you know, we were part of a motor trade family. So he taught me how to drive. Very proud of the fact that I learned how to drive when I was 14. I think it was an A30. Anyone remember an A30? Oh, there's more than nine. My goodness, there's something wrong here. Yeah, crunching the gears. Close your ears if you're 17 years and younger. He also allowed me to drive on the road illegally when I was 16. It was only once, by the way. Into town, I felt fantastic that as a 16-year-old, I was breaking the law and my father was sitting beside me. Wesley, what would you have done in one of your more official roles with a cap? Would you have let us off or would you have given us a fine? Well, don't be shy. You've never been shy up to now, Wesley. A caution. Right answer. So I think of my dad who, he mentored me as fathers should. We should do it naturally. We should do it just instinctively. But sometimes even the father-son or father-daughter, mother-daughter relationship, it can be something where you really sit down and you are very purposeful about it. I think again of my dad when I didn't do terribly good. In fact, I did dreadful at my O-levels. Anyone remember O-levels? Danny. So, yeah, I got a few of those, is it ungraded ones with the U's? So it went from A, B, C, D. Was E normally, E or F was normally, and then you had a U, it was ungraded. So I had a few of those. So I had a choice, go back to school or go into the family business. So, of course, went into the family business. So where do you start in a family business? You start at the bottom. Now, I'm not suggesting that anyone who works on cars or with cars and as a mechanic is at the bottom rung. I don't mean that in the slightest, but when you come into a family business, it's good to learn all of the skills and learn all of the trades. And so I went into the workshop and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Spent 6 months in the workshop in a particular garage. I think there were 9 garages at that time that the group had. And then I spent another 6 months in a government training centre. I don't even know if they call it that today, but you know the sort of thing I'm talking about, where as an apprentice then I became an apprentice. Excuse the pun. And so after a year, and I was turning 17, my dad said to me, Paul, I think it's time that you started to sell cars. And I think I might have told you this before, I was a very shy person. I know it's very, very hard for you to believe that, but I was. And I did not want to sell cars. I didn't want to put a suit on. And I didn't want to really talk to the public in that sense. I didn't want to have to sell cars. But he kind of went on and on, as sometimes dads do, because I think he knew that there was an opportunity in the future. And so I did, and I absolutely loved it. So I made the transition from being a mechanic to being a car salesman, and as the man says, the rest is history. And so I think of another man who came into my life, and you would know him, some of you would know of him, and some of you would know the connection. So Pastor Jimmy Ritchie, you would know Pastor Jimmy Ritchie. So Stephanie Larry, that would be her dad, Rhiannon Ritchie, who was here singing earlier in the year, Alistair Ritchie, who's now in the Ulster Temple, their dad. We were in Portadown, Elam. And the journey that we were on in the ministry was taking a long time. I told you before, I'm a slow learner. The whole journey from when I believe God was starting to call us back into ministry to where I was ordained took about 9 years. And I remember one time, we live in Darlingstown still. Jimmy lives in Marlin, a couple of miles from each other. And so I was giving him a lift over to church one Monday night. We had like a prayer clinic. And he said to me, out of the blue, he says, Paul, he says, when you apply for MIT, which is Minister in Training, he says, you'll need a reference and I'll give you one. And so he did. He then became my official mentor. That it is a title. JT, you'll have one. You'll have a supervisor. That's the bad cop. And then you'll have a mentor. That's the good cop. And so Jimmy was my mentor, my official mentor during my time of doing my 4 years minister in training. I think of Gordon Reynolds, who was here preaching at the Harvest on the Saturday night. And he also preached for us earlier in the year. Gordon came back from Canada, having spent 25 years there in ministry. He came back with his wife. They both retired. Within a year, very sadly, Gordon's wife passed away. And Gordon handled that whole situation so, so well. And we became great friends. We would have had him for meals. And he became a great mentor to me, one of those kind of unofficial mentors, just somebody, just a father figure. At that stage, my dad had Alzheimer's. My dad no longer was able to be my mentor. And Gordon unsuspectingly became my mentor. He actually took 2 years where he looked after the Monaghan Elam Church when they had no pastors. He was like a caretaker pastor. A great guy, lovely, lovely guy. And during that time, I was also making the transition from being in business to entering into applying for the ministry, so that journey. And I had preached in Monaghan quite a few times. And there was, maybe it was wishful thinking, but we thought at that stage that there might have been a possibility that I could have been placed in Monaghan. Now, Monaghan, those of you who are on social media would have seen, we put a photograph up Friday week ago. There was a pastor's and spouse's meal there, beautiful building. It's the biggest church in the south of Ireland. And of course, not really the church for I was going to say young, if only. A non-experienced pastor to go. But what Gordon did, he met EMI, which is Elam Ministries in Ireland. He met Edwin and the ILT, the Irish Leadership Team. And what he said he would do was that he would stay for a couple of years as like a mentor. That, yes, he would be the senior pastor, but below him would be me, who would be doing the training. And effectively, in his mind, he would be allowing me to run the church. Now, that didn't happen, and that was absolutely fine. It wasn't meant to be. But that is the heart of a mentor, who will be there with you, irrespective of the situation. The fourth mentor that came into my life was a little over 12 months ago. And I said I wasn't going to get emotional. And I told you that the tissues would not be available. So anyhow, when we came September a year ago, who was on the door? Who do you think was on the door? Your man. And so we met Wesley for the first time. That's when we came to do the preach. Of course, who had us for lunch that day? Florence and Wesley, Kip and Nathan were with us, so it was double trouble. We had a lovely, lovely day. Wesley is the type of guy who I know I can lift the phone to. Hopefully I'll be able to still do that. Send a wee text to if you need a bit of advice. A mentor is somebody who watches out for you, but also tells you to watch out for others and who to avoid in the new church. That's only a joke, by the way. He didn't say it at all. Now, I know full well that Florence has also been a great mentor to many of our ladies here in Ballymoneyland. Would you agree with me? And in particular to Esther over these past 12 months as well. So, Florence, you have mentored many, many people over the years as well. Both Wesley and Florence have been the cogs in many a person's wheel in helping them to achieve their goal and their full potential. Just back to our title, The Ministry of a Mentor, and encouraging somebody to do something great. Yes, the ministry of a mentor is helping to encourage someone to do something great. A mentor has a deep personal interest in you, is personally involved with the person in time, is a loyal friend who cares about you and your long-term development. I want to be personal here for a few moments again. Our oldest daughter, Rhiannon, who most of you know and have met and know about where she is in business today. And we think back to 15 years ago when we had a restaurant in Portadown. We couldn't think of a name. We just could not get a name that we thought was appropriate. And one day we were talking to my dad in the office, and he says, "Sure, call it Esther's." So that's what we did. We called it Esther's, and we ran that business for about 8 years. And so Rhiannon had done business studies. She had come out of school at 18, and we'd given her a job front of house because she had a good personality. And as often happens, you will know today, if you walk down any main street or you walk along any town and you see a restaurant or you see a cafe, 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, you will see a notice on the window or the door, staff required. It's a very hard industry to get staff. And so while we were running the business, there were days when people didn't turn in or were sick, sometimes valid reasons, sometimes not. And so Rhiannon got an opportunity one day to go into the kitchen and to bake. And that just sparked something, that lit a little fire in her heart. And 15 years later, she has 6 shops, and we're so proud as parents, and we unashamedly say that on Friday night she won Business of the Year at the Northern Ireland Women's Awards 2023. It's amazing, isn't it, what a bow tie and some spray tan can do for you. And I'm speaking about myself. Never mind Esther. But the two women who inspired Rhiannon and mentored her, one was a chef called Anne. And Anne was a great girl. And she just took Rhiannon under her wing and just taught her, just as your old mother or grandmother would have at the kitchen sink, and she taught Rhiannon how to bake. And the second mentor that she had, of course, was Esther, her mum. And so, folks, when we look at the Bible, perhaps the most famous mentor that we read about is a man called Barnabas. In fact, his name is translated Son of Encouragement, and rightly so. We first see him coming on the scene in Acts chapter 4. Barnabas was a very generous man. He was generous with his money. In Acts chapter 4, I believe it is, we read about him having sold a field or a parcel of land. And he brought that, the money, the proceeds of that, and he laid it at the apostles' feet because there was a tremendous need to be feeding and clothing and helping those who were less fortunate in society at that time. And so Barnabas, the son of encouragement, was a generous man with his money, but he was also a generous man with his talents because he was an encourager. He was the man who encouraged the young guy called John Mark. He brought him under his wing. John Mark, of course, we covered that a number of months ago. The writer of Mark's gospel, who had been on a missionary journey with Paul and had abandoned his post, who had taken cold feet or whatever it was, scripture doesn't tell us, but had hightailed it back home. And yet it was Barnabas later on who fought his corner and took him under his wing and became his mentor. And we think of Barnabas, who of course was generous with his time, who went on these missionary trips. But you know something, folks? We can all be Barnabases. We can all be encouragers. We should all be encouragers. We can all be mentors. We can all lend a hand at mentoring. Now, although not everyone has the specific gift or the specific calling to be a great mentor, like perhaps some of the men that I have mentioned or Barnabas in Scripture, we can all lend a hand at mentoring. I think too of the BB that was on last week and the enrollment. And I think of another thing that churches often do and pastors do, which is child dedication, where we bring a child, the parents bring the child, and we dedicate them onto the Lord. It's nothing more and it's nothing less than that, but we're giving thanks to God for the safe arrival of a child, and we dedicate that young one unto the Lord. And so in a dedication service for a child or the enrollment for BB, if you were here, then you will know that as the congregation that you had your part to play. You were asked last week, if you were here, that you would pledge your commitment as the congregation, as one of the congregation, and likewise, if there was a child being dedicated, that you would give your approval, you would give your yes, that you would put your thumbs up, that you would agree, that you would encourage, that you would mentor this young person, that you would promise to teach and to train them in the ways of the Lord. In other words, you would help them to achieve their goals. You would help encourage them as they grow up, that they would grow up to know the Lord. And so it's up to all of us to lend a hand, to be active participators rather than passive spectators. I'll just repeat that because I thought it was pretty good myself. We need to be active participators rather than passive spectators. Folks, we're coming near to an end. And then you can get the hankies ready. Surround yourself with loved ones who can flip you onto your feet again. Make sure that you have a mentor in your life. Make sure that you have someone in your life who is a positive influence, somebody who will flip you back on your feet again when you're on your back. Surely that's the ministry of a mentor. Whether it's with a small M or a capital M, whether it's our main gifting or calling or whether it's not, we can all be encouragers like Wesley and Florence. And so I'm going to ask another question, and it's the same question that I asked about 20 minutes ago, maybe 25 minutes ago. Would you please stand up if you believe you are a mentor? Please stand up. I'm going to broaden it out here. If you're in church and you're involved in or you lead a ministry, if you're a volunteer in it, in any way whatsoever, any ministry, there's folks to my left here not standing. If you are involved in a ministry and there's folks at the back and you're not standing, you are mentors if you're involved in a ministry. If you in work, if you are a manager or a team leader or you're a boss, then you are a mentor. If you're in school and you're a teacher or a classroom assistant or a prefect, if they still have those, or head of year, head boy, head girl, well, then you are a mentor. In the family, if you are a parent or a grandparent or a foster parent or an uncle or an auntie or an older brother or an older sister, then you are a mentor. If you have influence over anyone, anywhere, then you are a mentor. If you fall into any of those categories, you need to be standing because you are a mentor. I would have thought that probably almost everybody in this church is a mentor. As we wrap this up this evening, as I finish off this message of the ministry of the mentor, as we prepare to say our goodbyes to two absolute stars, I feel that we're losing two great humans. I feel that we're losing two great friends. I feel that we're losing two great leaders. I'm not even looking at them. I feel that we're losing two great mentors. Now, I know we're not losing them. You know what I'm saying. For me personally, I feel like I'm losing my wingman in Wesley Kerr. But I'm grateful to God for this last year. I am truly grateful that God gave Esther and myself a year and the privilege of having Wesley and Florence as our mentors. And even though we are devastated to see you go, and I'm still not going to look at you, we want to wish you both God's richest blessings as you leave on Wednesday to be closer to your family. But you will always stay close in our hearts, for you are two marvelous mentors. You are just fantastic human beings. And don't be long to your back in Ballymoney.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.